The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
On this show, we're enjoying the beautiful Fina Kiki. A great wine, soothing this meaningful conversation. Many thanks to What's in Your Glass for getting the conversation underway.
Welcome to the She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. And I'm your host, Trudy Kerr. Breakups affect us all. Absolutely nobody is immune. Even if you were to marry the very first person you fell in love with and stay with them for your entire life, you are still going to be affected in one way or another by breakups, whether it's family member, friends, and you have to make those choices about who you align your breakup decision with. So today we're going to be talking about breakups, all kinds of breakups, and the effects, the fallout, the light that comes after the metaphorical darkness. And hopefully by the end of this show, we have a breakup survival guide. And I am incredibly excited. I'm also excited because I have got an amazing group of women on this show. First of all, Yasmin Buzatil. Hello.
Hello.
Hello to you. You have long been associated with the She Word program through a partnership, but you're also sort of more like part of the team. But you are also part of why we're having this show, because we met a number of months ago, sat down, we were going to talk about the She Word, we were going to talk about work. We spent an hour and a half talking about life, our journeys, love lives and everything else, and about 5 minutes talking about work, which is not unusual. But you said something that really stuck with me. You talked about your breakup with your ex-husband, and you said that at the time it didn't impact you, but it came and got you years later. And I said to you at the time, let's have a show about breakups, because it really does affect every single person. Claire Borge, thank you so much for being back on this show. You are a psychotherapist. You're also the co-founder at Indigo Psychology Services. You're a long-term friend of the She Word. Not only have you sat around this table as a guest, but you were also part of that massive, powerful series on narcissists that we actually reached out and affected over 20,000 women in that show, which is amazing. And I really recommend to anybody, go and watch it. It's brilliant. Thank you so much for being here again as part of this show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Daniela Pellegrini, it is absolutely brilliant to have you here. Now, you've not been on the show before.
I have not.
You have not. This is your first time. But I put out a call for anyone who had a thought or any involvement in the topic of breakups, and you jumped right on that and said, I've got something to say. And when we spoke, you talked about this incredible, epic light that came out of your very painful breakup. And I said, don't tell me anymore. Come on the show. I want to talk about it with you. So I'm going to stick with you and say, thank you very much for being here. Have I missed anything else out?
You have not.
Nothing. I've missed out nothing?
Nothing.
Absolutely brilliant. I'm going to ask, what do you do?
I'm in account management and gaming. So, and that was also part of the after breakup light. Because
I
changed my job completely.
So let me just ask you a question. Why this topic? Why, just to summarize, why is this topic important to you?
I went like these, like since the breakup happened, I felt like I've been through the dark part, as you mentioned. And then like after I did the work and there was so much growth, I ditched basically who I needed to ditch. And along the way with my growth, because people just didn't fit in that equation anymore. It didn't feel right. So this show is like, it's because I did all this work. It's close to my heart.
I am so excited. I'm also excited because we've been sitting down and talking before we started the show, and it's like you're all best friends. So I'm looking forward to this being a really open and very important conversation. Yaz.
Hello.
Yaz, let me ask you, did I miss anything out about you? But also my question to you is, why this show? Why is this topic so important to you?
I don't think you've missed anything out, to be honest. You've covered it all. I went through a breakup. I mean, who hasn't, right?
Exactly.
At quite a young age. So I was married before, but we'll get into that a bit later, I guess. But I didn't have the typical breakup that people paint breakups to be, I guess. So I have my own story to tell.
Oh, I'm excited. Claire, now, Claire, you came and talked to me on the narcissism series that we did, which was incredibly powerful. And also you were part of one of the shows in season three. Mm-hmm. And then I reached out and I said to a bunch of you amazing ladies who are part of these shows, listen, what show would you like to be on? And you jumped on and said, this show. Why this topic?
I think everyone, or almost everyone in therapy, wants to speak about relationships at some point, which would include breakups. I mean, it's a reality for most people, if not all. And people talk about relationships all the time in different ways, different contexts, as you said, not just romantic relationships. And I think everyone can relate to the theme of heartbreak. So including myself, obviously, like everyone else. So yes, it's very dear to me because I think, you know, it's something that we all go through. So even if we're very different, we all share something in common, which is we understand grief, you know, when we talk about heartbreak and breakups, but we also maybe understand each other when we go through what you mentioned as well, sort of the growth, the light. And I'm very privileged to share that with clients as well. It's not just the typical reaction, the grief, but also like the growth as well. So
keep your self-care journey on track in just a few clicks with Myoka Spas. Whether for a moment of disconnection, a complete body-mind reset, or a bonding time together, book online stress-free at myoka.com or use the new Myoka app. Complimentary spa facilities on every visit.
Well, I want it to be a positive show. I mean, I really do want to come out of this with kind of like a sharing time, but also almost a survival guide and how we can approach a breakup. Because we've had a show in season four on divorce and separation. And whilst in some countries, one in two marriages end in divorce, it doesn't apply to everybody. Mm-hmm. But a breakup does, because everybody is affected by it. As we mentioned, it could be the friends that you're breaking up with as much as it could be a partner or a relationship or a family member. Breakups affect everyone. So that's why we're having this topic as a separate topic from divorce and separation, because this topic is just all encompassing. And I want to give you a little bit of information about that. So 23% of couples break up within the first 5 months of a relationship. Wow, I didn't realize that. 70% of breakups happen in person, while 10% occur via text or social media. You 10%? You bad people. 75% of people have at least one rebound after a breakup. On an average, 70% of breakups occur mostly, as I mentioned, the first year of a relationship, but 60% of couples make up after that breakup. So that's, again, that's an astounding statistic. Men heal faster than women after breakups. I think that doesn't come as any surprise to any of us. And women initiate the majority of divorces in the US at 70%. Most breakups happen around spring and summer seasons. That's really interesting. And 35% of people believe text breakups are moderately acceptable. Infidelity causes 60% of couple breakups. 71% feel 3 months is long enough as a time to heal from a breakup. And 71% of breakup victims focus on thinking about their ex far too frequently. So there's just a bunch of stats to kind of get us thinking. you know, I love that one about 10% of people break up via text and email or messages. I'm just like you. We'll come to that in a minute. But I want to come to something that you said when we first spoke. You contacted me. I put out this call. We spoke. And then I said, don't tell me anymore, because I really want to discuss what your journey has been here on the show. But you said something that really resonated with me and my own personal journey. You said that when you had your key big breakup, you also lost friends and you lost the person that you thought was your person. And we all think there's someone that is our person. So in that, you also lost your dream. And the fallout from a breakup is far, far more than just the couple involved. And I think that's something I just want to address right from the start. What are the fallouts from breakups that we don't often think about? What has been your personal experience? Because you mentioned, let's start with you, because you mentioned friends, you mentioned losing that person. But how far did that drop reach?
Even losing his family. Mm-hmm. They were my family. That was a big, like a tough pill to swallow. And I was very close to them. The friends, the people we used to hang out with, different ideas, things that surfaced later, or like how I was treated. It was just like, it was a cascade, basically. First the breakup happened and then just everything started falling.
Falling.
But, yeah. And you know how it is when you're in that pit, the last thing you need is someone just throwing dirt on you.
Oh.
And just like burying you. You're grieving. You have to get used to a completely different life, especially if you've been living with that person for such a long period of time.
So you just mentioned living, because in your case, Yaz, you didn't just lose your husband. You lost your country and your home.
Yeah, well, I moved to the UK. My ex-husband was British.
Sorry.
So I was 17 when I moved with him. So essentially I lost touch with my friends from college. Obviously I didn't lose touch with my family, but I was far away from my family. Built a life with him there. And then I think we were settling back into Malta for like a year when we actually broke up. So I had to settle back in. And yeah, that was not easy. I lost everything that I had here by myself. And then I lost everything that I had there with him. Mm-hmm. And then again, try to build something with him here. And that didn't work out. So obviously, I was very young as well, so I didn't know how to be by myself. You know, it was a...
Let's put it on the table, and I'm going to get Claire, I'm going to get you to add to this as well. Let's put it on the table, because I really want to, fully understand how extensive a breakup is. It could be a divorce, it could be a separation, but we've got friends. So let's go without saying that person, you lose that person. But you said family.
Family, friends.
Your home?
Actually, no, I kept the home.
Okay. Your home, wait, your home situation. Okay, I love the fact Yaz is like, me too. But your home situation.
Yeah, it was exactly. Yeah. It's just like being in a home by myself, who I had shared with someone for such a long period of time. It felt weird. In fact, I ended up moving. Like, that triggered me after, obviously, I got better and I was functioning properly. Then I was like, you know what? I need to move. I need a home. This doesn't feel like home anymore.
Different space.
Yeah. I just needed a different space.
Yeah.
I did the same.
And I think we miss out on a lot of things, the lifestyle, the little rituals, the small rituals you create in a relationship, any kind of relationship. And I think as well, we grieve the what ifs, the dreams we had, like the holidays we were going to go on, or the kids we wanted to have together, maybe, you know. So there's a lot that we lose, definitely.
I don't want to be too impertinent, but I want to come back to something that you said, Yaz. Oh, no, I don't want to upset you, but it was something thing you just said about the potential family. You know, I in my past relationships had expected to settle down and have a family, and that's never going to happen for me now. But and I've had to go through the grieving process of that, like, years later, because I thought that was my person that I would be having a family with. In hindsight, thank goodness I didn't. But you had that same situation as well.
I did, yes. I think going back to what you lose from a breakup, what affected me the most is the life that I had. That I think that's what affected me the most through the breakup. The life that I imagined to have, the what ifs. Also the fact that I didn't know anything but that relationship, because I was only 16, 17 when I got with him. So I had no idea. But yes, I think that is what got me the most. Mm-hmm. The what ifs, the maybe by now I would have had a family. Maybe by now I would have had this, that. That's what got me the most, yeah.
Mm. It's pretty far extensive. Anything else that we've missed out on what you lose in a breakup? I did lose my home. I also lost a pet once. It was really annoying. But anyway, there we go. So look, let's touch on, because we've mentioned children, but I always think that we as human beings can be pretty unsympathetic when there's a breakup. I've heard in my own situation, somebody said, well, at least there weren't any kids involved. And I've had it said to me as well, well, we didn't think that he was the right one for you anyway, and there's plenty more fish in the sea. We can be really brutal when somebody breaks up. And I don't know if it's just that mm-hmm. we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But people really do say some crappy things, don't they?
Yes. I don't think that most people have ill intent. You know, I think most people do have good intentions, but they just don't know how to deal with loss, with grief. Especially, I think, even in our culture in Malta, I'm sure this is not just the case in Malta, but I tend to see differences between cultures regarding loss and how to deal with that, how to support someone going through loss as well. But yeah, I think most people just don't know what to say. Or they might say something that they think would help them, but that doesn't necessarily help you, because we're all so unique and different. So yeah, I would like to think that most people have good intentions, but it still hurts and it's still painful to hear those things.
Mm. Did you guys ever have anything stupid said to you?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. What?
Yep.
I've had a few. I mean, I've had friends tell me, oh, but he was such a nice guy. Like, yes, okay, but
doesn't help.
It doesn't have to do something bad to me for me to want to
leave,
stop the relationship, I guess. I've had members of my family tell me, but did you try? I think that's the one that got me the most. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one that got me the most. Mm-hmm. Did you try enough? Like, did you try hard enough to... Because obviously, I mean, I don't know how many people out there just leave a relationship just out of like, mm-hmm. I'm leaving now. Obviously, I have tried. Obviously, I did try. And there's only so much you can try, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yes, people have the weirdest way of showing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel awkward in the situation as well myself. If someone tells me they've broken up, I tend to usually say, are you okay? Because I think that's the safest thing that you can say, personally.
Yeah. It was very interesting because we had a conversation before we sat down around this table with a particular person who was looking after our makeup for us. And I put my foot in it because I didn't realize that she was just coming out or just gone into a breakup. And we had that discussion before we sat down here of what should you say?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember which of you said it, but... I think the answer was, should I be happy for you or are we sad?
Yeah.
Because you need to ask, right? Because for some people, they're happy that they're out of that relationship. Was it you that said that?
No.
I think
it was me.
Okay, sorry.
Because I think it's the safest thing to say.
For sure.
Like, are you okay? Like, should I be happy for you?
Exactly.
Because I felt like a lot of people were saying that to me, like, oh, you said it to me. Like, oh, I'm sorry. And it's like, I'm fine. Like, I'm good, you know?
But I'm English and we don't know what to say in any situation or circumstance. Absolutely.
So. You were saying sorry to the makeup person earlier for doing your makeup.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it is, but it is awkward. It is, you don't know what to say. Anybody say anything stupid to you? Oh, wow.
I remember there was this particular moment, like it's imprinted. I was at the supermarket, finally got out of the house. I was doing some grocery shopping. And this person was on the phone with me. And this person basically said, well, he never actually loved you. And I crumbled in the elevator in the supermarket. Because that's the last thing I needed to hear. Like, it was fresh. It was 3 weeks in. And I'm like, I can't. Even if it is true, like, you don't say
Why
that.
Why would you say that?
Not in this moment. You know how, in what state I am at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be kind. That's Absolutely. One thing I learned. Like, be kind, because you don't know what other people are going through. Be empathic. Like, you can say the same thing, but deliver it differently, mm-hmm. if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
And also pick your time.
Pick your time.
Yes.
I can remember shortly after the breakup with my ex-husband, I had my family members say to me, well, you know, we didn't think he was the right one for you anyway, and we didn't think it would last. And that's great, except it's not, because I turned around and said, if you didn't have the courage to say that to me before I got married and at the time, you have no place saying that to me now. You might think it, but unless you have the courage to challenge me on my decision before I commit, don't come to me with that now, because it's way too late and I've gone through all the pain and the heartbreak and everything else as well. We're going to stick with you, if you don't mind, Daniela, because I heard recently that a quote saying that grief is patient and grief will wait and it won't go away until you've sat with it. And one of the things that you said to me was that you were utterly broken and you became a shell of yourself when you came out of your relationship and as part of your breakup. And I know that, Yaz, you have a very different story to this, but can I ask you for the details? Can I ask you a little bit about your story? What led to that?
Basically, when the breakup happened, first of all, it was unexpected. I didn't see it coming at all.
Not your choice then?
No, it was not my choice.
Okay.
In hindsight, thank God it happened, but I did not see it coming. When that happened, I felt alone. I felt there was another thing that came up, because then obviously I started again therapy. That helped me a lot. Literally, it was the only time in the week I was actually leaving the house. I worked from home. I did absolutely nothing outside of my house at all. And 5 years prior to this breakup, I had lost my father. And that grief came up as well, because I hadn't dealt with that at all. It literally, with that breakup, everything surfaced. Everything. As you said, I was a shell of a person. I did not know myself anymore. I didn't know how to act, how to think, what to do. When I'm usually this independent, strong, my fight kicks in very quickly. She wasn't there. She was not present. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to cope. So it was quite a lot for me to process in the coming months with my father's grief, with this breakup, with this like losing people in my office, even people not checking in on me. People I've known for years. Mm-hmm. These things, it was a build-up.
So let me get this right, and I'm going to ask Claire if you have a thought on this, because had you postponed the grief of your father because you were in a safety net with your relationship? Or was there
Looking back, I knew that relationship wasn't going anywhere. I knew. But looking back now, like in hindsight, I just had a fear of being by myself. I didn't feel strong enough to be by myself because I hadn't even processed losing my father, because I was too busy taking care of my mother in the process. It was it all surfaced. It was like, I literally, now I've lost everything. Mm-hmm. That's how it felt. It's like the chains came off. And I'm in a cage. The door is open and I can't leave. That's how it felt.
Wow.
And I was stuck there for months. Like I used to go to therapy every week. It was religion. I had to.
Claire, does this sound like something that you would encounter as a psychologist, yeah, that grief is postponed like this? Because what you're talking about is that just you postpone that grieving process and then suddenly, bam,
yeah, that's how it feels.
All at the same time is hitting you.
Yeah.
Yes, I think sometimes the advice we get is make sure you're distracted, focus on other things after you go through such a big loss. But sometimes that distraction sort of allows us to be in denial. Some people think denial is just the first couple of weeks or months, but it can last for years in a way. And I think sometimes if we just don't sit with, you know, with the grief, who we've lost, like what we've lost, what has remained. Yes, it remains there unfinished. It's even stored in our body, in our nervous system. So I've heard stories of people telling me, I got to know that I had unfinished business or unprocessed grief when I went for a deep tissue massage, for example, and like the professional realized that like I'm storing a lot in my body, you know. So it's physical, it's emotional, psychological. So yes, this could happen, and it's very common as well for new, let's say, losses to trigger old losses as well. Even if you would have worked on it and processed it, still it might come up, and then you end up thinking of all the people you've lost, all the different situations in life that you've lost. So grief is very complex, so yes, it's actually quite common, unfortunately.
I want to come to Daniela's story in a moment, because actually, you know, and I have to say, when you said, well, actually, in hindsight, I realized I wasn't in the right place. And then I looked at Yaz and we're just going, yes, we totally resonate with that. So there is some discussion for us to have about that. But also, you do have this magnificent journey and the light that came out that tunnel. And I want to go into the tunnel a little bit further in a minute, but I just want to come to Yaz, because our conversation is what started this thought for this show in the first place, because you absolutely said you postpone any grief or any sadness about your breakup. You came out of your breakup totally fine.
Subconsciously, I did, I think, yes. I had a bit of a different experience. So my breakup was a bit, I don't know what he would say if you had to ask him, right? But I think it's, I think it was mutual. Like the feelings of tiredness were mutual. I was the one that initiated the breakup, but I did feel like he felt the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure he would say the same.
Tiredness?
Yes. Tired of trying to be what we imagined.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so powerful.
Yeah. And not succeeding. That was the most tiring thing. Of trying, both wanting the same thing, both knowing that we want the same thing, but not just not managing. Mm-hmm. Just not managing.
So where did you mentioned to me that you came out of that relationship actually okay. And this was in COVID as well.
Yeah, it was when COVID hit. Oh, wow. Yeah. It was a weird experience because it was my first serious relationship, right? I had been with him since I was 16, 17. We got married. I was 22. So it was, everyone speaks to you about that awful breakup. Everyone speaks to you about locking yourself in the house, not wanting to do anything, not wanting to look at another man, not wanting to even speak about, or even just breaking down in every situation. But no one actually talks about the other side of it. the grieving of the relationship while you're in the relationship, that when you're...
Explain this. Well, I mean, I'm clear again. I don't know if you have a thought on this, but
yeah,
grieving for the relationship while you're in the relationship.
Yeah. So I felt like I didn't know it wasn't going to go anywhere, obviously, at the time. I mean, we were together for 6 years, married for 1 year. But I think it was after our first anniversary where I realized that we're both tired, like I was mentioning. Like, we're both not managing to make each other happy. We're both not managing to even make ourselves happy, like me making myself happy. It just fell into a routine of work, dinner, hardly speaking, because we know we're both heartbroken while we're still together. Mm-hmm. And that's, I felt like that was the why I feel really bad saying this, but why I got over it so quickly, essentially, at the time that I broke up, right? I had been out enjoying myself and things like this, but I had never really been single as such. So I did feel a sort of relief. Mm. But it's really tough speaking about this because it sounds really bad on the other person, right? But it's not a relief that, oh, now I got rid of him, I can do what I want. Not at all. It's a relief of, oh my God, I can stop trying now.
But isn't that the case? I'm sure that a lot of people, and I'm being respectful, but Daniela, when you said that in hindsight you realized that it wasn't the relationship that you want to be in, there is a relief. There is a relief because I keep coming back to the fact that your gut is never wrong. If your gut tells you it's the wrong thing, it's telling you because it's the wrong thing. And whether we listen to our gut or we don't listen to our gut, I have spent 45 years not listening to my gut. I had that down to an art. And it's only in the last 5 years that I've really got my head around the fact that your gut is never, ever, ever, ever wrong. Even if you're in a grief process, there is an amount of relief because finally you're in tune with what you already knew.
On this show, we're enjoying the beautiful Fina Kiki, a great wine soothing this meaningful conversation. Fina Kiki is a beautiful straw-colored wine with golden hues. The nose is a bouquet of apple, pear, exotic fruits, roses, citrus fruits, and honey. Just like Great Conversation, Fina Kiki is a wine of excellent harmony and intense persistence. Many thanks to What's in Your Glass for getting the conversation underway.
Am I not right?
Yes, and I think sometimes there's relief as well from other things as well. So there might be things that you're not happy with in the relationship. You might feel like you've changed a lot and you don't recognize yourself anymore. Maybe you can sort of rediscover yourself and who you are as well. So, and yes, the relief from the exhaustion, as you said, like if you've been trying for a long time, you've tried different things and nothing is working, it's exhaustion. It's like relationship burnout in a way. But yes, you were saying before, like some people do grieve while they are in the relationship because they would have left, maybe not physically, but psychologically, yeah, they would have left.
Yeah.
So some people grieve in a different way. It's still grief. Grief is not just, you know, being sad and crying. Like it's a whole lot of things. But yes, some people do leave before they actually leave. So that could happen.
So sticking with this theme of grief for the second, and I love the fact that you were like nodding as Claire said that, you're like, yep, I had already left. Before we move on to the joy and everything that comes out of it, I want to come back to that thing that you said to me, that the grief, you sat with grief. You've already sat with it in the relationship, but then it came and visited again.
Yeah.
When you're in your new relationship.
Yeah. I felt like I had, like, my life had obviously completely changed after the breakup. I hadn't been with myself. I never knew how to be with myself, by myself, essentially. So that was the excitement of rediscovering you, or discovering you, because who's themselves when they're 16? Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but I was not myself at 16, I feel like. So that was exciting for me. That was the relief, I guess, of now I can discover who I actually am, what I actually like. I changed career. It took a completely different turn. I was a completely new person. And only until, I met someone else, I'm with them now. Only until about, I would say, 2 years into being into my new relationship, where the grief came back. But it was not the grief. It was not the person that I could have been with, sort of. I wasn't missing the person that I could have been with, to be completely honest with you. I was missing more the life I would have had. I found myself going through every milestone. I don't know, like turning a certain age, and you're like, oh, great, yes. If I had stayed with that person, if I still had my previous life, by now I would have probably had kids. Or by now I would have maybe, I don't know, bought a bigger house. Or yeah. It's that grief that hits me. And there is nothing worse, and I can imagine that my current boyfriend would tell you exactly the same, than being with someone and you're happy, but going through that grief from another person, going through that breakup from, yes, from your previous relationship. And I can't imagine how hard it was for my current boyfriend to see me go through that, to be honest, as well.
That's amazing that you said that you're looking at the milestones. I mean, we all do it, don't we? Fortunately for me, I had a very different experience, and I'm glad that I didn't go through those milestones with the people that I've been in a relationship with before. But it had, as you mentioned, family, it did hit me that about 5 years ago, that family was never going to be something I was going to experience. And so I went through that of kind of grieving for that and thinking, could I have made it work with that person? This is before I met my now husband. And I'm thinking, if only I'd stuck with that, and maybe that could, and we can give a whole bunch of what ifs, but ultimately I left for a reason, mm-hmm, and nothing will compensate for that reason, because there was a reason that said, you've got to get the hell out of here. I want to come to you, Daniela, because you nodded an awful lot when you were listening to Claire. Because if you, again, I don't want to be impertinent, but how low did that low go before? And then what was the trigger to come back up again? Because your life changed completely.
Yeah. Honestly, there was no light bulb moment. I don't feel there was a light bulb moment. It was just like I said, I was in my house for 3 months, and the only way I was going to leave the house was to go to therapy or to go to a particular friend's house because for dinner. That's it. That's about it. But one fine day, I woke up feeling okay. I felt like I can tackle anything. I felt like I'm finding myself again, because I had lost part of me in that relationship, and I had become angry. I had become not the person I wanted to be, and I had also become numb, which is one of the things I really, really hated. Because
numb to what?
Things happened where I was like, where before I used to argue, then I was just like, you know what, okay. I just couldn't. I had no fight in me anymore. I was just like, slowly, as she said, I was already grieving. I knew it was coming, but it was still a surprise. I did not see it coming the way it did. So,
can I come back to something you just said there? Because it's really resonating in my head. You said you lost part of you. Now, we say this a lot. If we're in a negative relationship or if we're in a relationship that just isn't really bearing positive fruit in our lives, we say we've lost something. We lost a part of us. I want to ask you, but I also want to ask Claire to contextualize that. But what part of you did you lose?
I can't put my finger on it. I just didn't feel me. I literally didn't feel myself. Even the fact that I was so numb, it was not me. I'm usually very vocal. I'm usually very expressive. It was just not me.
Can I ask, Claire, what is that? Because we all, not we all, a lot of us say that. We've lost part of us. I know, because I'm, as you're saying that, my heart is breaking because I'm thinking of one particular relationship that I was in where I would echo exactly that. I lost part of me. That it was as if the light was snuffed.
Yes, exactly.
And it was, I was less of Trudy than I had been before. What is that?
Yes. I'm actually thinking of an author who says that we lose a bit of ourselves with every person we lose along the way in our life. So then, you know, that is why it's so painful and why it's hard to get back to yourself as well. Because you do lose things, you know, when you lose someone, when you lose a relationship, like the things you used to do together or like inside jokes as well. Or like sometimes I get people telling me, for example, I don't know, my parents are aging. And I worry that my new partner would not get to meet my parents now if they pass away. But my ex did. So I kind of, you know, I had something with him that my new partner potentially might not have. Like him being with me, getting to know my parents as well, for example. So, yeah, I do think we lose parts of ourselves. But it's also very common for us to kind of have to regroup a bit when we experience loss. And I know you said you don't know what happened, but one fine day you were okay. I think it was your consistency. You were doing things every day. Maybe somehow you underestimated like the impact of actually showering, eating, going to therapy. So you did show up for yourself, maybe in small ways, but then that adds up. And yes, one fine day, then you can sort of breathe again. But you were doing things that were helping you. You mentioned your friend who supported you as well. So yes, then you rediscover yourself. I think as human beings, you know, we have this great potential sort of to readjust and to recalibrate after, you know, our life changes, after, you know, something rocks the boat for us. And I think sometimes we underestimate how much we can heal. But yes, I do think we lose parts of ourselves or our life when we lose people in whatever relationship.
So you've gone to this place where you have, thank you, where you have, you felt like you've lost part of you. You've lost part of you as a human being. You're not recognizing yourself. You're in this very, very dark place. And then, as you mentioned, one fine day, you start putting things back together. Now, I think, again, we had a show on grief, right? And it was an incredibly powerful show. And I was reminded of the fact that grief is different for everybody. And we're talking about grief in the context of breakups, because that's really essentially what we're talking about. And it's different for everybody. And it can come back and visit as many times as it wants to, really, until we've sat with grief long enough. And also it can physically
manifest itself.
One of the guests on that show attributes her breast cancer to the fact that she was grieving for a lost son, and she internalized everything. And it can physically affect us. We can lose weight, we can gain weight, we can feel ill, we can, oh, why? What happened? Okay, I need to just ask, because there was a face over there from Yaz.
I gained a lot of weight.
I the opposite. Shrunk.
I don't know. Everyone used to tell me, oh, when I'm stressed, I don't eat. When I'm worried, and oh, now you'll like, but make sure you eat. That's what my nana told me. Make sure you eat when you break up.
As like, nanas would say, yeah. How sweet.
And I had
God bless them.
No problem with that. I went on a binge. I stopped going to the gym. I started again eventually, but I didn't want anything to hold me down. So I didn't like want to go to the gym. I just went in rebel mode. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I gained a lot of weight, to cut long story short.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And you lost.
I shrunk, literally. Mm-hmm. Shrunk. And that's like, for example, when the breakup happened, I hadn't told anyone for like 5-6 weeks. So I was literally dealing with it myself. It felt like if I said it out loud, it would make it real. Which was real. I was just in denial, I guess. And I didn't tell my mother that we had broken up. And I remember I wasn't eating. I was shrinking. And my mother wasn't saying anything. We were out at dinner. And I fainted because I couldn't eat. I wasn't capable. Believe me, I love my food. And for me not to eat is a lot. And I literally fainted at the restaurant because I had two bites of food. It just, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And that's when like I was like, hey, you're shrinking. What's happening to him? Like, okay, I'm just going to have to tell you.
What was your fear of telling your family? Just because you didn't want to say it aloud, but were you concerned about their reaction?
No, I just didn't want to. Mm-hmm. The only person I told was this really good friend of mine. Like she's the family I chose. I love her to bits. Mm-hmm. She's the only person I told. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here today, honestly. And she was always my safe space. So I felt safe with her. I felt safe sharing with her. It happened on the Friday and I shared with her on the Monday. Everyone else was just fluff. I didn't feel like, I didn't want to deal with that. Yeah. I didn't feel like dealing with the questions. Mm-hmm. Who knew, whether it's from his side, but I just didn't.
Mm-hmm. I still want to get to that really good part, okay, where everything turns around and mm-hmm. you start building again. But I have to come back again to Yaz, because Yaz made a bit of a face. Because when Daniela said that she hadn't told anybody, you nodded. I mean, it is tough, right? Did you tell your family?
I had, again, completely different experience, I think, with that as well. Because I was grieving for the relationship while I was in the relationship, I feel like a lot of people around me knew exactly what was going on. I can even tell you, I mean, the day that it all started, my mom was at my house dyeing my hair. And she looked at me and she said, Yaz, like something is not okay. Like, are you okay? And I said, Mom, I don't know. Don't ask any questions. I just know I'm not happy. She left my house. I was still with the hair dye in my hair. And my ex-husband walked in. He looked at me and he said, what happened? And that's when it just all came out. So I feel like a lot of people in my life knew exactly what was happening. Mm-hmm. People that I seen every day at work. I just felt like something. I feel like looking back, I think I was packing up the courage to do it. Mm-hmm. To say something. Knowing that he feels the same way, but being the one that says it out loud. This is my opinion about it. Obviously, everyone has their own opinion, but it is harder to make the decision to break up with someone when that person never did anything wrong.
Yeah.
He was.
Did you feel the guilt?
Not straight away.
Hmm.
It did come back. Not the guilt of leaving, but the guilt of not having an open, honest conversation. I think because we both knew that we were unhappy, there was never a conversation held. It was I'm not happy. Yeah, I know, neither am I. And that's all we said. It was, and the guilt of, not what if I had had that conversation with him, because I know that I don't think it would have changed anything. It got to a point where I don't think even speaking about it would have solved anything. But the guilt of not knowing, I felt bad. I mean, I don't know, of not knowing how he grieved with it. I have no idea. I mean, I don't see him around in the streets. He went back to the UK. Mm. That's something that I had to deal with as well. I mean, I remember thinking, like, should I even be, like, taking him to the airport? Like, he doesn't have anyone here. It's COVID. I felt bad. even though it wasn't just a cold breakup, even though I knew he was unhappy as well. But I think that's what's...
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping that anybody that's listening to this or watching this and going through a breakup, has gone through a breakup, is thinking about considering a breakup, feels seen. Because we all go through this on different levels. And whether it's a breakup that was mutual and that you had already broken up in your head, or whether it was a breakup that was completely out of the blue, but you kind of knew it was the wrong thing and you know, anyway. And I want to just say, okay, that's where we're at. So we know that there are breakups, and breakups are painful, and that we've expressed every single element that is affected of our lives that is affected by these breakups. But I want to now come to this part of your story, and I'm going to apply the same to you in a second, Yaz. So you start thinking. I know that you went and ate a lot of cake, but we'll come to that in a second. But for you, Daniela, you know, this is the thing that really struck me, that said, I need to have you at this table, because at some point your life started and you said it is unrecognizable and it would never have been what you have now had it not been for the fact that you broke up from that relationship, went through that very dark journey. And we said before we sat down at the table, some things we should be grateful for, and sometimes we should just say they were just a bit crap and call them for what they are. But the good part, because I want to give hope to anybody who's in that situation that it does get better. It can get better. It will get better.
First thing I did, I remember I was going to turn 40 and I just didn't want to stay here. So I booked myself a solo trip. Never done it before in my life. Never. I had a screw it moment, let's call it, and I just booked it. And I was obviously anxious, like leading up to it, but I had to go and I did it.
And this was how long after the breakup?
It was 3.5 months.
Okay, wow, wow. Okay.
So that was the first one.
Where did you go?
Rome.
Nice.
It's somewhere I love and I feel comfortable. I've been many times, but it's where I felt comfortable going by myself. I wasn't going to go to Thailand or Bali. I would have loved to, but no, that was a huge step. Then I actually got a new job. Then a couple of months later, I signed on a new house. It was just, everything started falling into place. It just, and the more time passed, the better I felt. It was like, now it makes sense. It was just like, I felt at peace. That's the word. I felt at peace. Even being by myself, I didn't need to date. I didn't need to go out all the time. I didn't need to do anything. I'm good. I'm at peace. I'm fine.
And you also mentioned that you lost friends through your breakup. So it was part of your journey making new friends, new relationships?
I found new friends. But people that were already in my life, they were acquaintances, let's call them, they became friends. And people who had been friends long term did not show up. And I also learned not to expect anything. Doesn't mean because I showed up for certain people, doesn't mean I'm going to show up the same for you.
Ooh.
So that was part of the learning process as well, like my journey. I just chose to leave things as they are. I'm not going to argue. I just don't have the capacity for it, to be honest.
So if you can put your finger on...
And if you spoke to me 10 years ago, this is not the Daniel I would get. I was very confrontational. I want to argue. Now I'm just like, you know what? Okay.
So what happened?
I see how you show up. Okay, fine. I'm fine with it. I'm not going to close the door if you decide to show up again. We can discuss. We can talk. I'm fine with it. But I see you. I see how you are. And leave things as they are. I opt not to engage.
Acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're attributing this to your experience.
I'm not the same person I was years ago. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yes.
More at peace?
With everything. Even choices I make day to day. Silly things. I used to doubt myself because... Like, sometimes even my tone comes off as angry, but that's not what I want to convey. So I choose my words carefully now. Even if I'm angry at you, I'm going to choose to speak to you in a certain way. Not because I'm angry. Before I used to shout at you, like be pointing fingers. I'd be very argumentative. I don't anymore. I just don't want to. I really don't want to.
Mm-hmm. And you're attributing this to your experience.
I found this calmness after all, like the breakup and all the things I went through that year. I found this calm that it's a nice place to be in. There's no other way how I can explain it. I just refuse to let anyone disturb that peace.
Can I ask you, just as you're saying that, you made me think of something. And it's kind of something I've lived with. If you've been to a very dark place, you know what a dark place looks like. And you got there, you survived it, mm-hmm. you came out, and you'd kind of lost the fear because you know what that dark place looks like.
And you become more empathic towards others. Now, I guess that's why I don't go in with guns blazing as I used to, because I've been in that place. And you don't know what that other person is going through. Maybe right now, they just don't want to speak to you. They don't have the capacity to speak to you. They just can't. Whatever that is. Like I said, I'm not going to shut the door. It's a jar. You want to reconnect. You want to have a conversation. Fine. Before, I used to be like, nope, you haven't spoken to me for 2 or 3 months. I'm done with you. No, I just don't. I've become more self-aware myself and aware of other people's feelings, situations that I wouldn't know about. Let's face it. It's not like I'm keeping in touch with everyone in my life on the daily. Some people I do, some people I don't.
Mm-hmm. This is such incredible wisdom. And it's also, it reminds me of something that I've heard and I've often said, is that none of us are immune from anything happening to us. Any single person can find themselves, in a breakup situation, in a dark place, you know, really looking at the very worst that we could possibly experience. None of us are immune to that. Nobody. And so we have no reason to judge. And that peace that I can feel it. Can you feel? I can hear this peace. It's amazing. I mean, what an incredible outcome, ultimately, for the journey that you've been on. I have some, I'm going to be asking you for wisdoms on something else in a second. She's great, huh?
Thank you.
Yes. What was the positive that came out of your journey? What is it? We've talked about a lot of sadness. We've talked about the grieving process. We've talked about the fact that you've had to then go on and grieve for a life that was lost and maybe, you know, children and maybe a family that you had planned and not necessarily with the person. I mean, because you'd planned that life, but whether the reality of that was going to happen or not, who can say?
Yeah.
But what was the positive that came out? What did, because you went out and you ate a butt ton of cake and you went and partied a lot. So what was the process that you went through and what was the outcome?
Getting to know myself. Because as I said, when I was 16 and I got into the relationship, I had no idea even what I wanted to do in my life, like as a job. So I never actually, all I knew was being my mother and father's daughter, being the student, being anything, but I don't know. And then eventually being the girlfriend, being the wife, you know, being the one that does this, being the one that does that. But who is Yaz? Like, what would I be doing if I wasn't in that relationship? What would I be doing if I was, I don't know, still living with my parents maybe, or in another country? Or it was just being so available and open to just being anything, I guess. Mm-hmm. That was the best feeling that came out of that, even though that was questioned a bit a few years after anyway. But at the time, that was what was feeling good.
Claire, is there always something that we can take positive away from a breakup?
I mean, I think in an ideal world, you know, we would grow together as a couple if we're talking about romantic relationships, and we would still find a way to keep reconnecting even though we're changing. But sometimes that's just not possible. You know, we grow more when we're apart. Sometimes it depends on the situation. And as I was listening to you, I was thinking there's a term that we use sometimes, which is called post-traumatic growth, which I really like, which is sort of how we grow post-trauma. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who experienced a breakup is going to experience trauma, but yes, for a lot of people, it is traumatic. And we have to watch out for symptoms of post-traumatic stress as well. Some of the things we mentioned could be related to that, even when it comes to appetite, for example, a sense of apathy. We mentioned that a lot of symptoms that could be related to that, but not necessarily. But yes, I think then for most people, it's also a time where you can realign sort of with yourself. You can think about what matters, what's important, what you want to do differently in life, hopefully knowing who your people are, who's there to stay, and possibly meeting new people as well, choosing to do life differently, choosing to do relationships differently as well. So yes, for most people, there is that opportunity and that chance to sort of extract, let's say, the good. And I think in every relationship, or let's say most relationships, there are things that are good that we can carry with us. So we don't have to shut the door completely and say, you know, like, that person is dead to me, kind of. I think not everyone separates or breaks up because there is no love or respect anymore. That is the case sometimes, you know, especially if there is abuse and whatever. But a lot of people break up and there is still love and respect, and there are still good memories and good values that were shared, good discussions. So sometimes we can carry some of that in our life. You know, something, I don't know, that you want to keep building on your own or with someone else in a different relationship. So I think it's very complex. It's not linear as well, but yes, for most people, especially those who have support, who get help, they can then sort of imagine a life that fits them more than the life they were living, basically.
So many questions from what you just said, but I want to come back to, as I was listening to you, I was thinking, and I was listening to you, ladies, I was thinking about something that was said earlier on the show, and it kind of echoed it again. And it comes back to this thing about the gut. Mm. And I want to just touch on that before we kind of come towards the end of the show. But I as I said, I learned at 45 to listen to my gut. Things had happened in my childhood that meant that I overrode my gut. And I spent years dating the wrong people, being with the wrong people, and saying, no, I can change this. I can make this work. Yeah. I can make this situation turn around. I'm enough for this. I think it's going to be okay. In actual fact, I knew, because my gut told me. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to realize that if I could pass on a wisdom to anybody else, it would be, listen to your gut. Your gut never, ever lies to you. It's always right. And from my point, I'm going to go first and just say, in every single relationship I've ever been in, except for my marriage that I'm in now, my gut told me, and I turned it off. And in actual fact, when I met my husband, the circumstances, if I had been sort of looking at it on black and white on paper, the circumstances were not great, but my gut said, yes, this is right. And it turned out my gut was perfectly right, and this was the right person that I should be with. Was there a moment, is there a wisdom that you can share about gut, about, for anybody who's thinking to themselves, I don't know whether I should be in this or not, I don't know whether I should break up or not, I don't know, because we know, don't we?
Yep, I've learned to just go with it. I don't question it anymore. I spent so many years being the fixer, trying to change. No. Nope. No. Done. If my gut says no, it's a no. If my gut says just try, I'm going with it. I don't question it.
But was this another outcome from your, oh, yeah, there you go.
Because I always, the one, I was always arguing with myself again. Like, I argue with everything and everyone. That's what I used to do. So if this person says X, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to convince you it's Y. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to fix this. That was me. I just don't anymore. Like now, okay, why? Okay, good. We're fine. That's it. I'm not going to argue. I'm not. And if, again, if my gut says get out of that situation, I'm going to get out. If my gut says, you know what, there is something, I'm just going to go with it. If it leads to another heartbreak, if it leads to another disillusion, if it's, what if, fine, that was, that then it saved its purpose, it's a lesson. Fine, move on to the next. That, this is, I'm telling you, this is not me 5-10 years ago.
That's amazing.
And it all came out from, the trigger was the breakup.
I love your wisdom. I absolutely love this. I mean, I'm going to just say that, and I'm going to ask you again, a bit of a personal question. I knew that when I got married at 22 years old, I knew as I walked down the aisle that this was the wrong thing. I knew that it was the wrong place for me to be. And it took me another 4 years to kind of get out of that and a lot of real, very, very, very real pain along the way. And that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And I think we're so frightened, isn't it true? We're so frightened to listen to our gut, thinking that maybe, as you said, we can argue it out. But it, in your experience, it's never wrong, is it?
No. That's one of the, like recently in therapy, it came out that I always said I didn't want kids. But it turns out it's not because I didn't want kids. I didn't want kids with the partners I had.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Bingo. You and I are on totally on the same page there.
And it was like, that was a light bulb moment for me because I was convinced I didn't want kids. 100%. If you speak to all my friends, no, she doesn't want kids. It's because I didn't see those partners as being potential fathers to my kids. I did not want that to set that example to my kids. So I was like, I don't want kids.
Wow. Yes, your experience was very different because family was something that you really, really wanted in your marriage.
It was, yeah. And I think that's what I grieved eventually as well. I'm not saying I don't want kids now or ever. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's not what I want right now, and it's not right for me right now because, as I already said, I'm just rediscovering my life in general. But I, at the time, I was ready. I was ready from probably a year before we actually got married. And that we had it all, not planned out. It was like a bit of an unspoken, like, we'll get married, we'll spend like a year doing this, this, and that, and then, you know, we'll try to have kids. Who knows if that would have actually worked out, even if we were still together.
But what did your gut say? Because when we're having that conversation about the gut, you know, it's easy for us to say we both knew that something was wrong and that we were overriding our gut.
It's different when you just don't, when you think everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got married at 22. I did not walk down the aisle thinking, this is not right. I didn't. I thought, this is all I want. This is amazing. This is the best day ever. And throughout the entire relationship, I would say, most of the relationship, I would say that I never thought, this is not right. Until it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that such a good testimony for that relationship that you had? You said previously, you said it wasn't bad. It wasn't mm-hmm. wrong. It wasn't, you know, we look at every breakup as that relationship must have been wrong. No, it was right for a period.
For
it
sure.
had its time.
And some it doesn't of us mean that it's purpose
exactly.
as well.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, exactly. For sure. Claire, what is that gut? What is it? Can you put kind of your finger on it. What is that gut? Mm-hmm. What is that thing?
Yeah, I think this is very interesting. We would need a long time to discuss this. Oh, because sometimes, yeah, but sometimes
women and the gut.
Yes, it's true. Because sometimes people say, is it my gut or am I overthinking? Like they ask me, how do I know if it's my gut or if it's my past traumas? How do I know if it's my gut or people's voices? Because there is a lot of noise around us in life. You know, it's very difficult sometimes to just sit with yourself and say, what do I really want? I think when we're talking about this kind of gut feeling, this visceral feeling, we have to see like how our body feels as well. Like, how does my body feel with this person? Does it feel calm, at peace? And maybe today it does, but tomorrow it does not. Like, how is my body doing? Like, even on a physical level, how is my physical health? Because that sometimes is also an indication that psychologically maybe we're not doing well as well. And I think we develop the gut feeling. So I think maybe, I don't know, some people might believe that we all have a gut feeling, like we're born with it and you just have to trust it. But I think we have to nourish it, develop it and maintain it. And some people do not get the chance to actually develop that gut feeling, let's say, especially when they're kids, they are always told that they're wrong or that, no, what you're saying is rubbish or whatever, like their emotions are downplayed. And sometimes kids know that something is up, for example, in the family. But if the parents or whoever are not talking about it, they're not acknowledging it, then that child is going to end up going against their gut. Mm. So I think in our busy lives, although, you know, it's difficult to do, I understand, but ideally we would like set some time, a few minutes, even if it's just a few minutes a day, to sit with ourselves and just say, like, what am I feeling? But what am I truly feeling, you know, emotionally in my body? Am I happy with what I've done today? Is there something different that I want to do tomorrow? If I feel like, I don't know, with some people I behave in one way and with others I behave in another. Why is that? Like, when I feel like I'm at my best, who am I with? What am I doing? And I think that can guide us and it can help develop our gut feeling.
I'm going to have to play that back and listen to that 100 times over. I know. Just to pick that apart.
I can't agree with that's exactly what I learned to do. Sit with it.
Yeah.
Just allow myself to just deal with the now. How I'm feeling, how, like, my body, how I'm reacting to specific people I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I've learned that.
Yes. You know, sometimes with people, you just feel like you're a bit on edge or like a bit out of
breath.
That's
my body telling me, get out. Mm-hmm. That's just like, remove yourself.
I've never heard anybody articulate what you guys have just done. You've just said you physically feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I think we all have that experience. You know, when you walk into a room and you just feel instantly comfortable, mm-hmm. or you feel instantly on edge.
Yes.
And your body's telling you something, right?
Yes. And it can change. Like, sometimes we're surprised that our body is reacting differently to someone we've known for a long time. It's okay. Like, we have to understand that we change, people change, dynamics change. Yes, and sometimes we are caught off guard, but that's okay. And sometimes it's a pleasant surprise. It's not always unpleasant. So we have to reassess. I think, like, every day you can just sit with yourself with any emotion that has to come up and say, you know, I see it, I acknowledge it. What would I like to do about it? Or do I need to change something? Do I need support? Because it can change, you know, from one day to the next. But most of us go for months, I would say, without checking in with ourselves. Like, we need that self audit in a way. And then you think, like, what happened? Like, who am I? What am I doing? Who is this person? What is this relationship? But it could be because we were kind of out of touch or too distracted by everything around us.
And you might not realize that until you're looking in from the outside as well.
Yeah.
You might not realize that when you're actually in the situation.
For sure.
If you're going through a breakup and it's a family member or it's a friend, your friend who helped you, your family member who spoke to you and understood you, your mum who was dyeing your hair, and you, as bless your mum, if I ever meet her, I'll have to. And you as a psychotherapist, as a, and somebody mm-hmm. with real thought on this. What do you say to someone who's going through a breakup? What do you not say? What is helpful and what is not helpful? You know, Daniela, you said that your friend, or do your friend, was the one person that you could talk to and you went through that whole experience. Why that person? What did they say or what did they do that made a big difference to your journey?
She was just there, literally. We could sit in silence for hours and we didn't have to say a word. She didn't have to actually talk to me. She knew when I wanted to talk. She knew when I just wanted to sit in silence. I just needed company. And that I appreciated so much. The fact that she was just there. That's it.
And what should someone not do?
Don't rub it in. Be empathic, like be conscious about that person's feelings. You don't know what they're going through. They might be saying they're okay, but they might be crumbling inside. Just be cautious. Tread carefully.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Your go, Yaz. What was said to you or done for you that was really helpful, and what would you suggest that somebody doesn't do?
I had a friend that when I told her that I had broken up, she had literally just picked me up and just took me for a drive. And the same source of ish experience didn't say anything until she didn't say anything to me until I was ready to say anything. Mm-hmm. And then I remember she parked next to a bay and I just hugged her. There was nothing that could have been said or needed to be said. That was just the best thing for me. Like, don't tell me, well, going to what you shouldn't say. Don't say, have you tried enough? Or, but what happened? Or, because maybe nothing actually happened. You know, it's harder to explain it when nothing has actually happened. Just be empathetic. Just be empathetic and considerate to this person's feelings.
Claire?
Yeah, I think a nice thing to say is also like, how can I be of help to you? Mm. And right now, you know, in this moment, and if the person says, I don't know, you know, we can say, okay, we'll stay with that, but I'm here if you need anything. And sometimes it's not about talking, it's about the practical things as well. Like if you know your friend is not cooking or not showering, first of all, like I think it's important for most people to understand basics of mental health first aid, let's say, you know, and then maybe we can offer to help them. Maybe we can cook something for them or with them, or sort of like wait outside the shower, maybe if you're very close with the person, so the person feels supported even just to do basic things. Offering professional support like links, numbers, contacts, blogs, whatever, if the person is up for that. Sometimes it's also about actually calling for the person, you know, to book an appointment, let's say, or actually going with them, even if it's, you know, us staying in the car. So sometimes there are practical things that are needed that are very supportive. And when it comes to the shouldn'ts, I would say ideally we should not project our own stuff onto others, because, you know, sometimes that is the thing, that we're projecting our own experiences or beliefs or opinions onto others, and it just doesn't make sense for them.
Yeah, it's awful when someone says, oh, I know how you feel.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't. You actually it's don't.
Different. No matter if different. You went through it or not, you just don't know how I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think something I would like to add as well, which might not be something we hear about often, is having a breakup ritual. So, you know, we have rituals when we get engaged, when we get married. Sometimes we need a ritual after a breakup, maybe not immediately. We might not be ready for it, but it could be like a letter or actually going to a place that you enjoyed and kind of, I would say, recording over. So going there again, but with a friend, having a laugh or just crying or just saying, you know, this place will always be special to me. It could be anything. Like, this is something we do in therapy as well, but you can also do with a close friend, like a ritual. Maybe, you know, as a friend or a relative, you could help the person to come up with something they would like to do, and maybe they wouldn't like to do it alone. But if they want to do it alone, obviously you support that as well.
That's really good advice. Well, I'm going to ask you ladies just to think of one line as your parting wisdom to pop into the box of this survival guide. Before we do that, I just want to just throw in my thoughts, and that is, we started off this show by saying that breakup affects every single person on the planet one way or another, and most of us at some point are going to go through a breakup, whether it's going to be with a partner, mm-hmm. whether it's going to be with friendships that don't survive for the whole entire duration of our lives. And because of that, I think any judgment should have no place in anybody's conversation, because judgment suggests that you are immune. If you judge someone, you say that I'm better than you, it's mm-hmm. not going to happen to me. None of us know that. None of us know what life holds for us. And if we're very blessed, we won't go to that dark place. But there's a good chance that everybody has a propensity to go there at some point. And so we should absolutely, with 100%, withhold judgment, because we actually don't know. We never know what somebody else is going yeah. through. So I'm going to ask you ladies to close. I'm going to ask for a word of wisdom. I'm going to stick with you. Okay. Your closing word of wisdom. Yes.
I would say sometimes a breakup is as painful or even more painful than a death. So what would we say to someone whose loved one has passed away? We wouldn't say, you should have gotten over it by now. You know, it's been 3 months, 4 months. There is no time frame. And I think with a breakup, it's the same for a lot of people. They need time, sometimes years. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're not doing better, but some things do still linger. So I would say, like, don't rush yourself to get over someone or to get over a breakup. Take your own time, see what helps you, what nourishes you, and you do your own thing, you know.
It's funny, isn't it? We didn't touch on that, but I always said, when I've mentioned it before on this show, that when I broke up with my husband, when I got rid of my husband, despite the fact he'd been a total that at the same time my godfather passed away, and my godfather's wife got so much sympathy and so much love, and rightly so, mm-hmm. but I had to watch my ex-husband still walking around, and as you said, you go through that grief, you're grieving for a death of someone who's still breathing, mm-hmm. and that can be harder. So Wise words. Yaz, your closing word of wisdom.
Don't compare your breakup journey to anyone else's. Mm-hmm. Just don't. It will kill you.
I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And final wise words from you, Daniela.
I'm just going to say, be kind to yourself. Allow yourself to feel everything you need to feel. Sit with it. But it will pass. You're not going to stay here forever. It's gonna pass. Mm-hmm. Just be kind to yourself.
I'm gonna chin that, because that is the wisest words. Ladies, thank you so much. I want to say
thank you
being so open with your thoughts and your wisdoms. And here's to every happiness that comes after a breakup. So until next time, keep the conversations going on our new Facebook group, the She Word Community. Make sure that you check in with our Instagram, with our TikTok, with our LinkedIn, Facebook, and obviously YouTube and Spotify. Come and join the conversations. See you again on the She Word.